A play fake. Young goes deep middle. He's got Jerry Rice. Touchdown, 49ers!
Welcome back to another edition of the 49ers Family Podcast, where three generations of 49ers fans break down the game each week and hear from Grandpa Mike as he shares personal experiences and stories since he became a fan in 1949. My name is Josh, and I'm here with my dad, Jared, and my grandpa, Mike, and we are a 49ers family. All right. I never really look forward to losing, or I guess recording the podcast after we lost, and the way that we did, it's just, there is some element that it feels like the Eagles in the NFC Championship, where it's just not the best product that the Niners put on the field. That obviously had the big, huge Brock Purdy injury. We didn't have a quarterback, so I'm not saying it's exactly the same. But I just feel like we didn't make it a game. Like I wanted to see a good game. I wanted it to get into the fourth quarter, one score game, and see kind of what happens. And this one was not that. So we'll get into it. We'll do some quick reactions, talk about the box score. We'll talk about who needs to be better next week. And then, of course, we will break down the Commanders game this Sunday. It's a short week. I can't believe it's already Wednesday night, and we'll talk about some injuries. Obviously at this time of the year, a lot of injuries, and then we will make our score predictions and get out of here. So we hope you guys are all having a great holiday season, a Merry Christmas, and let's get into it. So I mentioned some of my quick reactions, but Dad, I don't know, what are your thoughts coming out of this one?
My thoughts are it was painful. I think, like you said it best, we didn't put our best product on the field. It felt like we just kind of kept self-destructing, whether it was turning over the ball or penalties. Things were just kept breaking down. We couldn't get any sustained momentum. It just looked like it was not our day. We didn't go head to head with them and toe to toe. And we were just kind of floundering much of the time. It felt like we had some big plays. We still put up 429 yards, which is amazing, but we turned over the ball a total of 5 times. So, that's like taking one step forward and 2 steps back. So, So anyhow, I'm ready to move on. We have some things we'll learn, takeaways, and I have a lot of respect for the Ravens. I mean, they are a very good team, and we're going to have to play our best ball to beat them.
Yeah. Real quick before I get to you, Grandpa, you got to liken it a little bit to even basketball, where they play a series, or even baseball, play a series. And sometimes you just don't get the best product out of your team. It's just not your game. Football, you don't have that opportunity because it's one game and it's win or loss. And even in the playoffs, as we know, it's you go win or go home. And so it's dicey with football that way. It has to be that way because of the injuries and kind of the physicality of the game. But this is one where I was like, dang, it's just not our game. And the vets know that, and the vets learn, move on. It's probably a little bit harder for us fans, but I wish we could play them in a 3-game series or something like that, and get more shots at them, because some of those turnovers were quote unquote fluky. Even Kyle Shanahan said the first one was a bad read. The last one, Sam Darnold was totally, trying to fit a ball into small space, but the middle three were somewhat fluky. Props to the Ravens, but somewhat fluky. So Grandpa, what about you?
Well, I really get into it. I was really nervous before the game. It felt like it was, bigger than a regular season game. It felt like the Super Bowl. And I just built it up all week. It was, beyond intense. And then I kept justifying in my own mind, we're 6-point favorites, we're playing at home. Many of the so-called experts are picking the 49ers. You know, and then I would think that, you know, Baltimore has the number two defense in the league, which made me think of the Cleveland game. They had they're the number one defense and how tough that was. You know, and then you add it up and it's Monday Night Football and Christmas and the whole country's going to be watching. And you just want to really play well and show how good we are. I thought, you know, this will be a good stage for Brock Purdy to solidify his MVP position in front of a national audience. And I thought, you know, all 50 of the voters that vote for the MVP, they're going to be watching. And, you know, it just was a marquee matchup. It was, I think, only the second time in NFL history that teams with the best records in each conference played one another this late in the season, week 16 or later. So I just, you know, I was really, really nervous. I'd probably be better off if I played than just was a fan, but that's not going to happen. And I found myself watching the clock all day. I was counting down towards the kickoff 5 hours ago, 4 hours ago, 3 hours ago. And then we started out well. You know, Baltimore went 3 and out, and then we had a beautiful drive. 5 plays, 74 yards. We're on the Baltimore 15-yard line, and I am going, okay. And then the nightmare began.
Yep.
And Purdy was intercepted 3 times in the first 4 drives. I mean, at halftime, I thought, you know, we've had 3 turnovers and we only trail 16-12. I thought we still have a shot here. We have not played well at all, but we're just down by 4. But of course in the second half, it got worse. So 5 interceptions, 10 penalties for 102 yards. I was devastated. It was very depressing. And I had, you know, hoped for a much better performance. So on we go, but it was painful.
Yeah. I mean, I toward the end of the game when it, you know, it looked like it was pretty much over, I leaned over to my wife, Janie, and I said, well, at least this isn't the playoffs. Like I totally agree, Grandpa. It felt like a playoff game. It felt like even, you know, potential Super Bowl preview, but boy, am I glad it was not that, because just kind of a sick taste in your mouth, like not the best product. The ball didn't bounce our way. I mean, I will say it kind of bounced our way for that safety. That was bizarre, but I'm glad that was week, whatever, 16, 17. I forget the weeks now. And not in the playoffs. So couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking at, I won't really get into it, but as far as score predictions go, I predicted that we would win by 1 point. Dad, you predicted we would win by 10 points, Grandpa by 3 points. So I gave it to me, even though I don't really, really want it at this point. But we're pretty close. Yeah. 6.5 for Dad, 4.5 for me, 4 for Grandpa. So all is kind of evening out. But let's talk about stat sheet surprises. And you guys mentioned a couple stats already. But Dad, you mentioned penalties. We've obviously been talking about turnovers. What else kind of sticks out to you on the stat sheet?
Let's see. We only had 18 rushing attempts. I thought that was striking. I think because we're playing from behind most of the time. So we kept putting the air, we kept giving it back to Brock and saying, let her rip. I think that was the main thing. I think just that we put up that many yards, but again, it was just a turnover game. We had some big plays and made some good chunk yards, some good yards after the catch. I think looking at, I think that'd be my main comments right there. I don't have a whole lot to say on that.
No, it's good points. I mean, obviously with the turnovers, we're giving them shorter field position, so they weren't like full on drives. But it is surprising, and I will say, you know, the fact that we were able to put up 429 yards on the Ravens, like that is a positive, you know, point that we still moved the ball. Some of that was in garbage time, not too much of it, but we were moving the ball. The run game was working, but when you get far behind like that, you have a tendency to try and pass because you can get more yardage quicker. And then if it's incomplete, the clock stops. So, yeah, it is interesting for sure. Grandpa, what about you? What jumps out on the stat sheet?
Well, you know what? We could really flip this and I could make it sound like we won the game. But our offensive stats were really very, very good, especially against, you know, the number two rated defense. We ran 68 plays, which was our second highest total of the year.
Yeah.
As you guys mentioned, 429 yards. Baltimore, on average, gives up 287. So we were 142 over their average. We had 308 passing yards. That was 123 over what they normally give up. In rushing, we had 121. McCaffrey set a record with 8 straight games of over 100 total yards. That's receiving and rushing. McCaffrey now has 21 touchdowns. The 49er record is held by Jerry Rice at 23. So he has a very good chance to break that. Jerry Rice did his, though, in 12 games. The offensive line allowed 29 pressures in 46 pass attempts, so the offensive line did not play well at all. Purdy, for whatever reason, had trouble with short passes in this game. They really took that away. So the passes under 10 yards, he was 4 for 14 for 29 yards in all 3 interceptions, or 3 of the 4 interceptions, I should say. And then from 10 yards to 19 yards, he's 9 for 11 for 215 yards. So in Baltimore, you know, they have a running game. They led the league with 163 yards rushing the game. I said last week, if we held them to 100, we'd win the game. They had 102.
Right.
Other than that one run that Jackson made that was for over 30 yards, we did a very good job against the run. Purdy's quarterback rating went down 7 points from 119 to 112. And then the 10 penalties. Our punter continues to just excel. Mitch Wiskowski leads the NFL with 10 of his 47 punts have been down inside the 10. He's a weapon. And, so we did offensively, we did, you know, statistically a lot of good things. I also kind of look at this whole thing and it doesn't work this way, but had we not thrown that first interception, we were on the 15-yard line, had we scored, and then at the end of the game, we were down there again. It was garbage time, but, that would have tied the score. Right. It really felt bad. The game felt terrible, but when you look at some of this, I mean, you know, we have some bright spots. So, yeah.
I totally agree. And I think the fact this is, it's crazy saying we're looking for positives here, but at the same time, the fact that the Baltimore Ravens only scored 33 points with 5 interceptions, I know one being at the very end of the game, mm-hmm. is I would definitely say, you know, you got to give kudos to the defense. They were dealing with some short field situations. Did they get it down and score on seven straight drives? But they only had three. They only ended up with 33 points and kept us kind of in the game. And the fact that we were able to close it to 14, we had the ball down there, penalties, whatever, we backed up. I thought that whole play sequence on the first and goal was kind of mismanaged, to be honest. And then we, you know, force a pick. But if we would have scored and managed the clock, we could have tried an onside kick with like a minute 40 or a minute 20, I think a minute 20 or a minute 30, something like that left. And still had timeouts because Shanahan did not want to use a timeout before then. So, I mean, as crazy as it is, like we had, it was still, it kept my attention till the very end.
Yeah, I agree. It felt like that. Yeah. To me. Yeah.
We needed a minor miracle, but it was, you know, it was possible. And so anyway, it is what it is.
Hopefully this is the last game where Christian McCaffrey has a solo tackle, Brock Purdy has a solo tackle, and Jordan Mason has solo tackle. You know, I mean, that is, I don't want to see that anymore. It's not a good sign on the stat sheet. So,
it's so crazy. We always talk about how, like, you know, pick sixes or, you know, a pick in the end zone, which happened twice in this game, is like, you know, taking away 7 points. And if they score in that drive, whatever, it's like a potential 14 point play. That one where the corner blitzed and Purdy saw it, and I think it was even Chris McCaffrey that's maybe lined up outside on the left, and he abandoned the play to try and hit a quickie to Christian McCaffrey, which of course was tipped and then intercepted, and then then Brock Purdy has to make a tackle in the backfield. If that ball had got to Christian McCaffrey on the you know, the whole 22, looking at that tape, Christian McCaffrey had one guy to beat, and we all know that guy is very good at breaking tackles. And it just feels like that play was, I mean, a lot of plays, but that play was just so big. And if you're going to do that play 10 times out of 10, it's not going to be an interception. It might be a tip ball, you know, 5 times out of the 10. It might be intercepted 2 times out of the 10, but it's probably completed 3 times out of the 10. And so it's like, how are you going to, it just, sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way, and that's okay. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about who needs to be better next week. Instead of doing game balls, maybe we point out kind of some people that we think, you know, in order to regain some momentum in the season, beat these Commanders up and coming. Grandpa, maybe you go first. Who do you think needs to be better this next week?
Well, I guess I'd focus on the offensive line. They had 25 pressures out of 53 dropbacks. And the grades that our offensive linemen had this week were pretty bad. You know, and just as a group. And then we had some injuries, and it was just a floodgate at the end. So we're not deep in our offensive line, and we're kind of just above average, even when everybody's healthy. We run real well to the left. We do not run well at all to the right. So I would say our offensive line needs to improve.
Agreed. Dad, how about you? Anybody in mind of who you think maybe could be better next week?
That's a great question. Offensive line for sure. That's very obvious. I think we did fairly well against the run, I felt. Even dealing with Lamar, you know, he extended plays and created those second play opportunities. I think that's a great way to describe his game. I think Ambry Thomas had some breakdowns in the back. And then I think, I mean, let's just, I'll just say what I feel. And that Brock Purdy admittedly has to make better decisions. He just kind of got out of his groove. You know, he likes tight windows. You know, he had that one tip to Kittle. You know what I mean? The ball was not positioned correctly. There was a guy on him. That ball should not have been thrown, at least where it was. And he knows that. This, the first interception he threw was a breakdown, a mistake. So just little things. So he just needs to be a little more conservative in a sense of protecting the ball, which he's normally good at. He'd rather punt the ball than force the ball downfield in a tight spot. They had a very, very good defense. Their secondary played very physical and very tight. I mean, they were like white on rice. I mean, unless, I mean, when he had the open look and we had some space, you know, Brock can hit those. But when he has to force him under pressure, our O-line's not doing their thing. He just has to get rid of the ball or something instead of trying to force it. So yeah. Brock, and he'll bounce back. I just hope that he can find that groove again. I think coming up against the Commanders, I think that'll be opportunity to kind of get back in a little bit of a groove. And then I do worry a little tiny bit about his injury. It's just in the back of his head. It's a little stinger on the left side. It's not his right arm, but nonetheless, it just, it's just, you don't want to get hit. He doesn't want to take a hit, or he didn't even get hit. He kind of, the way he was crunched and folded up, it was just enough to stretch those nerve roots again down his arm. So I think our secondary, Ambry Thomas in particular, that stands out to me. He made some good plays at the beginning. He stopped a big third down or something like that. And
third down.
I was like, man, that was 7 points, you know. Well, it kept him to a field goal there. But then he broke down a little bit. And then our O-line. So those would be my three kind of to-doers.
No, I think you nailed it right on the head. And I'll even maybe add that I was also a little disappointed in the coaching staff. I'm not sure who is the decision maker behind this, but you know, we've talked about it on this show. Jason Verrett, longtime Niner, you know, injuries galore. He finally came back from an injury. He was on the Texans practice squad. And then the Niners just signed him on to our practice squad 2 weeks ago. He was a practice squad player of the week last week, and they elevated him for this game. And the goal was to have him play 4 to 8 snaps, and he ended up playing 5. But one of his first dang snaps was in the red zone. It looked like he a little bit got pushed off, but he also got turned around a little bit. And Lamar, he scrambled, so make it a second play, and let that touchdown out. And I was like, I just don't know if that's a good idea. I feel like at this point in the season, you kind of got to ride with the guys that you've been riding with because they've been working together. And there's something to be said about that. So I was a little disappointed in that. I don't know if that means that just Jason Verrett needs to be better. Maybe Isaiah Oliver needs to be better. We know that, but even, you know, this secondary unit did all right, but just gave me some questions like, what's going on back there that they feel like they need, it felt forced that they need to work Jason Verrett back into the secondary. Just kind of interesting. I mean, depth is good, but it felt like it was forced rather than, you know, just when somebody was tired or something. Maybe that's the case. I'm making some assumptions as well. But, all righty. Well, you know, I agree with both of you guys. On to the next one. You got to put it past you. They were a good team. Brock Purdy did not have his greatest game, but he was going up against a really, really good defense.
Very good.
Yeah. I, you know, hats off to the Ravens. They showed that they were disrespected. and that's why sometimes it's better to be on the other side of things, even though obviously you want to be favored in games. But they were motivated, man, and they came out, they showed up, they took advantage of their opportunities and won the game.
So Vegas said,
oh, go ahead, Grandpa.
They felt they were disrespected because they were an underdog. Well, the 49ers don't set the point spread. Vegas does.
I know.
Let them be mad at Vegas. We didn't disrespect them. But
true.
Anyway,
it's true.
They're always searching for motivation. Locker room.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They made a big thing of it, but. Yeah, the Niners don't set the point spread.
Right. Well, and you know, to that point, the Niners now have some motivation behind them that like you said at the beginning, Grandpa, all eyes on them, did not show up, did not have the greatest game. So there's a lot of people that are doubting the Niners too, that they were frauds themselves. And we know that's not true. I mean, any good teams can have bad games. But you know what is important is bouncing back, not letting one game turn into two, turn into three. It obviously is nice. We talked about this last week that we had kind of the cushion, one game cushion, because we still hold the tiebreak on the other teams in the NFC. But now we have to win these last two games.
Right,
we have to.
You know what the happiest animal in the world is?
What?
It's a goldfish. It has a 10-second memory. So they need to be like goldfish, you know? Be like a goldfish.
Thank you, Ted Lasso.
And go play again. That's right.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Other team from the Baltimore, Maryland, D.C. area, the Washington Commanders. Niners 11-4. The Commanders are 4-11. This one will be on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, so an early game for the West Coasters, of course. San Francisco is 19-11-1 all-time against Washington. Currently, the spread sits at Niners are favored by 13. Over-under is set at 49.5. Should be kind of a colder game. This is kind of typical D.C. weather where it gets cold. Doesn't snow a ton. But it's still pretty cold, so it should be 45 degrees at at game time. Niners will be wearing our standard road white tops. But let's maybe kind of to intro this game, let's talk about injuries. It's kind of a good transition from last week to this week. Mentioned at the beginning that, you know, this time of season, once again, a lot of injuries, and the Niners came out with a lot of injuries. From this Ravens game, they played physical, which, you know, bangs you up. With Niners have like 15 guys on the injury report this week. Some that were full participants today, like Danny Gray, is back, which is good news. We need some wide receiver depth. Ronnie Bell is a rookie. I think it's a lot to expect from him right now, what he's doing. But and Elijah Mitchell should also be a full go this week. And there was one more that I forget who it is, that is also very promising. It should be a full go this week. Some of the things to note though on here was Ambry Thomas, what you were just talking about, Dad. He was a limited participant today with a knee and hand injury. Hopefully he'll be good to go, but of the most noteworthy, I think, is Trent Williams with his groin injury. The early indication is that it's not that bad, quote unquote, not that bad. Will he play this week? I don't know. We'll kind of see how that goes. But Jalen Moore, also his backup, went out with a concussion, which made Colt McKivitz switch from the right side to the left side. And then Jair Brown, after the game, had some knee kind of lingering pain. And at the very end of the game, we also saw Aaron Banks go down to re-aggravate his turf toe. They said it's not as severe as it was last time, but still, there's just a lot of question marks on that offensive line. And I'll say that even depth at the defensive line side, so much that the Niners actually signed a free agent today, Sebastian Joseph Day. Most recently with the Chargers, 28 years old, the interior defensive lineman, was a captain for the Chargers before they made staff changes and such. And in doing so, the Niners waived Jeremy McNichols. They also re-signed Matt Pryor, who was released before the Ravens game. So there's a lot of what's it called, shuffling going around on the roster and the practice squad. They had two open practice squad spots and filled them with Sebastian Gutierrez, who's a second year guy, offensive tackle, and they re-signed Willie Snead to the practice squad after he was released after this game and before he was promoted to the 53. It's crazy, but everybody's doing it. You got to stay on top of it, and it should be good. You get Sebastian Joseph Day. He's a leader for the Chargers. He should definitely provide some depth. I'm not going to say he's a starter. We should expect a ton from him, but I think a solid signing is pretty much as good as you can do on the free agent market at this point in the season. I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners aren't done either, honestly, that they maybe find somebody on the offensive side that they can add to that line, because we need it. Any reactions, Grandpa, to the injuries?
Well, I'm concerned about Trent Williams. That, you know, when he goes out, it's a floodgate. So that's the key to me, that he really has to play. We got him from Washington. You know, on draft day when Joe Staley retired, we traded for Trent Williams. That was a great trade. Trent Williams went through a thing with Washington where he disagreed with their medical staff on some things, and so he sat out a year, and they eventually traded him to us. So he is, you know, one of the best ever, and we really, really, really need him. So that's the one I'm watching. The good news is, after the game, he was asked how he felt. He said, "I'm fine. I'm fine." So I know they did an MRI. I did not hear the results. I'm sure if they found something, we'd hear something. Yeah. I've heard nothing. So anyway, Trent Williams is the key to all the injuries.
Right.
Yeah.
On the injuries on the Commander side, they as well have about 13, 14 folks on the injury report, a couple of just for rest days. But and I don't know their depth chart, so I'm not sure if these guys are starters or not. Obviously, the Commanders aren't having the best year ever, so they don't have that many stars. I do know their running back, Brian Robinson Jr., was limited today with a hamstring injury. They also have a pretty good backup running back too, though. They also are banged up, I'll say, just looking at the positions here. They have a tackle, and a center that are on the injury report. One that was limited, two that did not participate today, did not practice. So, you know, they're banged up as well. But let's talk about maybe about the Commanders in general, though. Grandpa, tell us, you know, who are the Commanders? What are they good at? What are they not so good at? What are some of these storylines from the Commander side?
Okay. Well, just the headline is, offensively, they rank 19th in total yards. So they average 327 a game. That's 19th out of 32. And on defense, they rank 6th. They only allow 297 yards a game. So they're good defensively and not so good offensively. They average scoring 20 points a game, and they give up 30 a game. So that's the average, and it's their quarterback for the first 15 games has been this guy, Sam Howell, mm-hmm. who, you know, people don't know much about, but he really has struggled the last 2 weeks against the Rams and the Jets. So the Commanders are making a switch for our game, and Jacoby Brissett will start at quarterback for Washington. He wears number 12. He was originally a third-round draft pick by New England. And then he's really bounced around. He played for Indy for 4 years, and then Miami and Cleveland, and now Washington. But he could be pretty accurate. You know, so anyway, they're making a change at quarterback. So that's That's news. I you know, Washington is, they've changed ownership. They're probably going to, their new owner doesn't like their name, Commander. He's going to visit that at the end of the season and maybe come up with a new nickname. They once were the Redskins. And they, you know, they're 4-11, so we're 13-point favorites. We should go in and handle business, you know, but especially after losing. So I expect the Niners to have a strong
using them.
So yeah. That's a little about Washington.
Yeah, I completely agree with some of your points there. I think it is interesting, the new ownership. They brought in Eric Bieniemy, the longtime OC for the Chiefs, to kind of be his own OC because Andy Reid was calling really the plays over there. And you know, it's been rocky. It hasn't been a great year, but they've been in some close games. Even, you know, just a couple weeks ago, they lost to the Rams 28-20, so one score game. But have really got beat up by Miami 45-15, Dallas 45-10. And they actually just lost to the Jets this last week by 2, which is saying something. So, you know, they obviously, you know, this is still a national football team. They have players that were the best on their team in college. You never really overlook any team in the NFL. Some interesting points.
And we got Chase Young from them,
right?
You know, a month or so ago. So we've got a couple of former Washington Commanders playing for us now, and Trent Williams and Young.
For sure. Yeah. Last thing about their name. I don't like Commanders either. I'm not surprised. I know a lot of the fans themselves actually know two people that are longtime Washington Redskins fans, don't like the Commanders. The three finalists, I can't remember one of the three, but it was Commanders, Red Wolves. Actually, it might have been also the Washington football team. A lot of people actually liked that name and want to just keep it. But I think I really like what Red Wolves. I think it has, you know, obviously ties to Redskins. Kind of keep the red in there. We'll see again what happens after this. What I think is just completely nuts, though, is their kind of rebranding of like the uniforms. Like, why not just, instead of the red skin on the helmet, throw a W, keep the rest of the uniform itself? Because I think that the Redskins had some very classic, you know, traditional uniforms. We know that they have won. I know they won at least one Super Bowl. Grandpa, you probably know how many. But, you know, they had great uniforms. I don't know why they had to ditch those. Now they have some, like, weird, like, color fades and stuff. They just don't look. They look like, honestly, they look like XFL or, like, a Tier 2, you know, football league. Or maybe college. They look lame. I think they should go back to what they had just with a new name.
Yeah. So in the all-time series, you mentioned we lead, I forget what you said, but we also, we played them 4 times in the playoffs, and we won 3 out of 4. So we add that to the 19-11, and it's 22-12 that we lead the series with one tie. So Washington, when, you know, in the early Montana years, Washington was our big, along with Dallas and then the Giants, were, you know, the tough games. And Washington coach was Joe Gibbs, and he won 3 Super Bowls. So those fans that are watching Washington today thinking, gee, they're not very good. They used to be good. But good. We played them 4 times in the playoffs and we won 3.
Well, that's pretty good. All right, let's get to keys to the game. Dad, what's your key to the game for this one?
Just creating sustained momentum. I think we just offensively protecting the ball. If we can not turn over the ball, I think that will be just a great confidence booster with one game left in the season going into the playoffs. We just need to kind of get that consistency back in and protecting the ball. I know we can do it. I'm sure we will, but that will be huge. And then our offensive line being healthy enough, protecting Purdy. I think defensively we'll be in pretty good shape, but offensive line and just momentum protecting the ball.
Yeah, sounds good. What about you, Grandpa?
Well, all year long, I've said no turnovers, and you know what happened last week. Turnovers are just humongous. They're, you know, vital. So no turnovers. And also Washington, in the power rankings, are ranked number 30 out of 32 teams. So, we have to. We will win this game. We can't overlook it. Look them, especially with what the chips on the table. You know, this is, we're going for the number one seed. We're 13-point favorites. Let's go take care of business and come home and beat the Rams and take a week off.
Yeah, good points. I'm gonna say run the dang ball. Not as much as I want, and I agree with what you said, Dad, to kind of get the momentum back and get pretty feeling good. Not saying abandon the pass, but I do think against this team that we want to establish the run, control the game, control the clock would be great, and kind of escape hopefully unscathed. Mm-hmm. And I also a little factor, not that we win four awards or we're shooting for awards. The only award or trophy that I won at the end of the year is the Lombardi Trophy. But to what you said, Grant, at the beginning, that Christian McCaffrey needs two more touchdowns to tie Jerry Rice's record. And I also saw about a record with touchdowns and something about Gale Sayers, nine are great as well. I think, trust Christian. Let's run the dang ball. Elijah Mitchell should be back. Let's get him, 10 carries, Christian 20 carries. And let's just, run these guys into the ground. I think it'd be super satisfying. I think all of our team loves to block. And if we can establish the run, I think that'll bring people into the box and then we can expose them and hit some passes over the top. So that's going to be my thing. Actually, one more point that I did want to mention today, because I think it is interesting, is obviously the MVP award has become a quarterback award. With Brock Purdy's performance on Sunday or Monday, it's not looking like it's probably going to be him. Not ruling it out, but people already had their questions anyways. It's probably not going to be him. But Christian McCaffrey still had a great game. He still had 130 yards from scrimmage. He did what he does. He scored on that crazy, literally dragging one guy with his leg, reaches for the end zone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He is so elite. And if anybody's going to win an MVP award, I do think it's got to be Tyreek Hill or Christian McCaffrey. I don't think any quarterback is running away with the award itself. People have Lamar Jackson now as the front runner, but as good as he did, and he did a good job. He didn't turn over the ball. He extended plays. I wasn't uber impressed with him either. I don't think he was the reason why they won that game. The defense is the reason why they won that game. And Barry Sanders, he won co-MVP. 1 year, I think, alongside Brett Favre, if I'm trying to look it up really quick. He kind of chimed in and said, we all know this is a QB award, but in 1997, he rushed for 2,000 yards and was co-MVP with Brett Favre. And there is a chance, I do think there is a chance that Christian can split the award with the QB. We'll see if that happens, but I think a big week here, and then one more at home against the Rams, and Chris McCaffrey might just win that award.
Yeah, he has a good chance. There's a lot of criticism for this becoming a quarterback award. They've won it many years in a row, and a running back hasn't won it, and I forget how many years, but he has a good chance. He's in the top three, I think, and so we'll see. But I agree with you. What we want is the Lombardi Trophy. Yes. These other awards just kind of take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Coach of the Year, you know, General Manager of the Year, and all that stuff. It isn't always accurate or fair. You know, they typically pick somebody, the coach that, you know, had a team that won four games and then he won nine or something. So the good teams don't, Shanahan doesn't have a chance to get coach of the year is what I'm trying to say. But John Lynch has a good chance to become executive of the year. But those awards will take care of themselves. They're, you know, let's win the trophy.
Yeah. For your trivia night, the last running back to win the MVP award was Adrian Peterson in 2012. In that way, I do. He also had a crazy season, 2,000 yards, I think. And his QB was Christian Ponder, and Adrian Peterson carried that team. Well deserved there. So, but we'll see. Maybe our boy Christian McCaffrey can do it himself. All right, let's wrap up with score predictions. Dad, what are you thinking? I mentioned the Niners are favored by 13. The over under is 49.5. What do you think this one ends up at?
I think we'll put up 35-17.
Okay. Love it. Grandpa.
The reason I said, is my score is 34-17.
Well, get this. My score is 30-17.
Whoa.
So get back on track. Okay. I think we should win this game. I think it's just a matter of how do we win it is kind of the question that I have. But feel that, you know, confident in the team. I think, you know, the only thing that does a little scare me is just the injuries combined with the cross country flight. This is almost as kind of cross country as it gets, really. Either going to Miami or maybe New England is the furthest we can travel. But Washington's on the other side of the country. So, it's also we mentioned the homecomings for Trent Williams, of course, and Chase Young, but Kyle Shanahan also that coaching staff with Sean McVay and like four other head coaches were all on the coaching staff in Washington. I think it was like 10 years. Something like that in 2011 or something like that.
That was quite a sound.
Yeah, for real. But, well, should be a good one. I guess any last thoughts before we end?
Just win.
Just win. One thing I wanted to comment on is Dre Greenlaw. He hits hard. I mean, he makes some incredible sticks. And he's just so fun to watch. He hits harder than Warner, anybody else on the team. I just have really enjoyed watching him, even against the Ravens, made some great hits. He shows up. I mean, they're Warner and Greenlaw are like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, they work so well together. And so anyhow, I just want to shout out to Dre Greenlaw, because I really appreciate how hard he works and what he brings every single week.
Oh yeah,
we have the best linebacker combo in the league. That's nice.
They're fun.
And Patrick, speaking of 49er linebackers, Patrick Willis is a finalist for the Hall of Fame. So he has a shot that it'll be decided the Saturday before the Super Bowl when they vote.
Cool. Nice.
He's on the list.
That would be amazing. I think we talked about this last year. He's the finalist last year as well. The only knack that he has against him is just the longevity in the NFL. His stats, his Pro Bowl appearances, et cetera, were amazing. He just didn't have the longest career. So,
right. He only played 9 years. So, but it was a spectacular 9 years.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, I think that'll do it for another episode of 49ers Family. Thanks for tuning in. We will talk to you next week. Go Niners.
Go Niners.
Go Niners.